Hey Gators and sports fans, get all your Gator talk, news, analysis, and opinions on the Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning Podcast. Find us on your favorite podcast platform or watch us on Facebook Live between 8 a.m. and 9 a.m. every weekday. Pod Up, because we are Gator fans. So say, it's great to be a Florida Gator.
Good morning and welcome to a Monday edition. It's an MLK edition of Pod Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios. Hope you had a good weekend. We're going to sit here and talk a little sports for the next hour. We'll be joined by JC as we are every Monday. We'll recap the NFL, a little college basketball. Second portion of the show, I'm going to have Bob Redman from Swamp 24/7 talk about the new transfer portal or new players from the transfer portal that the Gators have picked up. Few that they have lost. Also, what's going on with all the coaching stuff here and there. So let's go straight to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by Corndog. Good morning, JC.
Yeah, man.
I see you have your Buccaneers hat on.
Gee, why would I be wearing a Tampa Bay Buccaneers hat, I wonder? I think that performance last night, you know, that I guess I was told that it's hard to beat an NFL team three times in the season. And New Orleans had no issue with Tampa Bay in two games during the regular season. Isn't it funny how in that playoff game the Bucs just figured it all out?
You know what the difference was?
Tell me what it was.
Okay, if you go and you look at the stats of the first two games, yeah, the Bucs had 3 to 4 turnovers in each one of those games. You look at the game last night, the Bucs had 0 turnovers.
Yeah.
The Saints had 3.
Right.
You know, there's a stat, and I remember every meeting – that I used to sit in the NFL, they give you all these freaking stats, these coaches do.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a stat, and I don't know if it's changed, but it probably hasn't. But it said, if I can remember it correctly, first of all, there was two stats that always stood out to me. One was 78% of the games in the NFL are decided by 3 points or less.
Mm.
That was one of the stats. This was back in 1999,
90s.
Okay?
90s,
but
yeah.
I doubt it's changed. And then the other stat was, it was like 84.7% of the teams that lost the turnover battle were going to lose the game in the NFL.
That is pretty telling. And it's certainly in the playoffs when there's no tomorrow, you almost have to be aware of these things. And certainly I think Tampa Bay is probably best suited to play Green Bay right now. I mean, I thought Green Bay was the most impressive team on the weekend. And without a doubt. And so there was only one guy who was really matching what number 12 did in Green Bay, and that's the guy wearing number 15 in Kansas City, and we've got issues with him now. So it's looking really good with Green Bay. They were very impressive against my Rams, really never took their foot off the throttle and covered easily, beat them by 2 touchdowns. I was not surprised at all to see what happened with the Ravens. You know, this is the third year in a row that they have a lackluster offensive performance that leads to a loss, you know, and guys like Mike Greenberg and all these NFL experts are so shocked at how bad Baltimore played offensively. And really, I guess you and I are the only two people in America who aren't shocked. And so, and Buffalo really
can't win. Yeah. You can win in the regular season because it's different than the playoffs. But if you cannot throw the football, watch this. Look at the Saints. They have one of the best play callers in all of football. They have a Hall of Famer at quarterback.
Mm-hmm.
But he literally can't get the ball down the field.
Shocking.
Not win that way.
Especially with those guys trying to catch the ball out there. It's hard for me to believe. But, you know, Buffalo wasn't anything special either. But they didn't make the same – they didn't have the issues that Baltimore did trying to get first downs. I mean, my God. And the kid that came in after Lamar got hurt was probably the most effective – led the most effective offensive possession that Baltimore had the entire game. Now, I know it was later in the game, and it was pretty obvious what they were going to do, but they still drove the ball a little bit more effectively than when Lamar Jackson played. Cleveland's scrappy game yesterday. I mean, I thought the Browns were a really good team this year, and certainly I think they're going to be the leader in that division. I think they're going to usurp the Pittsburgh Steelers in that division as the Steelers go through a transition at quarterback eventually with Ben Roethlisberger stepping aside for somebody else. That could be a team you watch Mac Jones get drafted to, perhaps, or Kyle Trask, or somebody, because the Steelers, I think, are going to need somebody at that position, because I think Ben's days, much like Drew Brees' days, could be coming to, you know, the final 2 minutes here. Kansas City with a big problem now with Pat Mahomes. We don't know. We know he had a concussion. We don't know how long he's going to be out, but they're going to play next week. And Buffalo, I think, stands very well to perhaps upset Super Bowl, defending Super Bowl champions in that game in Kansas City next week. And then, of course, that Tampa Bay-Green Bay game, you know, the two best quarterbacks probably ever to play. If you add them up in the styles that they play, wearing the same number, this is what I think everybody was hoping to see, and this is what they're going to see. And then you're going to have perhaps a chance where Tampa Bay plays on their home field in the Super Bowl. And I was thinking last night, when was the last time a team played on their home field in the Super Bowl? Because, well, the Dolphins, I think.
I don't think it's ever happened.
No, I think you're right. I don't think it has happened because the Dolphins
they ain't beating Green Bay, JC.
They're playing so well. I mean, right now you'd have to say Green Bay's favorite. I'd have to check what the line is, but Green Bay looks just really good. They you know, the Rams. I think Aaron Donald was not nearly 100%, and they certainly missed Cooper Kupp. They played hard. They got to within 7 points in the third period, but there was no question Green Bay was going to win that football game. So.
Yeah. So I'm anxious to see. I don't know what the NFL protocol is when you have concussions.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I don't know if Mahomes is even going to be eligible to play, regardless of how he feels. I don't know.
He was hobbling
like
around.
I don't know how long you have to sit out or what have you. Yeah. But good gracious, I would have. I mean, this is the year to have it. Have Mahomes versus Aaron Rodgers in the Super Bowl. They are clearly the two best quarterbacks in the NFL.
Right.
And so I don't know. I think obviously if Mahomes can't go, Chiefs ain't going to win.
And Hilaire is not there in the backfield. Kansas City will be at home, of course. And Buffalo right now just has the chemistry, I think, that you got to have to go deep. And they're one game away from the Super Bowl, first time since, I guess, the early 90s. And this would be quite a story if the Buffalo Mafia made its way down to Tampa. Think about that. I-75, you know, even though and I think the stadium – for the Super Bowl, they'll talk about it in a couple of weeks, but I think they're going to allow more than the typical 20% into that stadium. But we'll see. I don't know that. I just know that the setup here with Buffalo, Kansas City, Green Bay, and Tampa Bay, you know, four quarterbacks that have taken over the game right now, and hopefully one of them will play. But he hobbled around yesterday, Mahomes. He didn't look like
he had a little toe injury, but that was no big deal. I want to get your thoughts, JC, because you're big on rules and stuff like that. Do you like the rule where if I thought Baker Mayfield played outstanding yesterday.
He did. He made some great passes. I agree with that.
The touchdown that Higgins stretched out, the ball goes to the end zone, touchback. Do you like that rule?
I mean, I guess so, because you do have to control the ball. You can't just throw it across –
I'm saying you like the rule from the standpoint it goes to the other team, or should they have a rule where if that happens, you still possess the ball, but you go back to like the 25-yard line, and now it's first and goal from the 25 or something like that?
Yeah, no, I don't have a problem with it. Do you? I mean, I think if you lose possession of the football and it goes out, a touchback is a touchback. I mean,
I have mixed emotions. I don't know what I think about it because
it's
the guy was trying
really
to
is.
Score. And, I mean, things happen.
Yeah.
I don't quite understand that rule.
I felt bad for Cleveland. I really did. I mean, they have a really good football team. I think their days upcoming are very bright for the Cleveland Browns. And I think they will take over that Central, that AFC North, I guess it is. Or is it the Central? Either way, I think they are the team to beat going forward in the future in that division. I don't think it's Baltimore. I certainly don't think it's going to be Pittsburgh now with issues at the quarterback position, and Cincinnati is still a ways off. So Cleveland looks really good, I think, moving forward. The future is bright for the Browns. And, you know, they came close. They covered. We got them. We picked them. You went, by the way, on Peachland Dental. You did go 3-1. The only game you didn't cover was the Saints last night. So I went 2-2 because, you know, I did an emotional pick for my Rams, but that wasn't very smart. And we each had Buffalo and we each had Cleveland. Yesterday, or you know, this weekend as well, but we took the Saints. I just thought that the Saints had Tampa's number, but Give the Bucks credit, man. I mean, they have really played well at the right time, obviously. Not to sound cliched, but that's, you know, you got to play your best football at this time of year. And that's what I think Tampa is doing. And I think that's what Green Bay is doing. And certainly I agree with Buffalo right now. But, you know, we'll see how that game goes. I think Mahomes has got to play for Kansas City. If he doesn't play, I think Buffalo will be the team.
Well, I want one of our listeners. We have so many listeners that know the rules and all this stuff. I'd like for somebody.
You're still on the rule?
Chime in about the protocol from the concussion standpoint. Because usually you have to sit out like a minimum of 7 days. Then you check your symptoms. And then you got to go through another protocol to be able to start jogging and all that. So I don't know what they're going to do. Refresh your vehicle and your brand with the vehicle wrap from Wrap Spot. January is your lucky month at Wrap Spot. Mention promo code Shane and receive 13% off your vehicle wrap. Speaking with JC here on the Titan Amore Hotline from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios, we'll have Bob Redman from Swamp 24/7, second portion of the show. Gene says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mountain Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. He says that's the top five awful rules in sport.
Okay. Well, I don't know. I guess I could see why I would feel that way if I was pulling for Cleveland last night. It works out great when it's the team that doesn't happen to and you're rooting for them. I don't know. I mean, there's a lot of silly rules in the NFL. I think the roughing the passer rule, you know, just blowing on the quarterback.
That's been part of the – I mean, this rule – mm-hmm. changes the game. So anyway, I wanted to bring something up to you, JC. You know, there's a lot of talk in the NFL about what's going on with the Houston Texans. Deshaun Watson says he's not going to play there anymore, that, you know, a couple teams need to trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, I've talked to some close NFL people, and I can't mention any names or anything.
Okay.
I think the Miami Dolphins aren't happy that they drafted Tua.
Yeah.
And the reason I say that is because they've had a coaching Chan Gailey step down, or maybe he was fired. I don't know. He did a really good job. But I wonder if there's some turmoil there because.
Yeah, I think the locker room.
Was Chan Gailey forced, or were the Dolphins, was the coach forcing him to play Tua? Was the front office forcing him to play Tua? Because the more I think about it, They should have been playing Ryan Fitzpatrick.
No, I think you're right. I think the best chance for them to win was playing with Fitz, and I think it was obvious, really. I think it was obvious. And when he brought them back to beat, I guess it was the Vegas Raiders, and then knowing they had to beat Buffalo to get into the playoffs, and they didn't start him. Now, of course, he got COVID, so that changed the whole decision-making process. But before that happened, Brian Flores – insisted that Tua was going to be the starter.
We don't know if it was – my point is we don't know if Brian Flores was making this decision or the general manager.
That's just a guess. I would like to think that Flores had that final call. I don't think the locker room liked it, though. I think the players weren't –
That's what I'm saying. Like, his call.
I got a feeling that the players really wanted Ryan, but once he got COVID, there was really no decision to make. But I think even if Ryan Fitzpatrick didn't have COVID-19, that they were going to start Tua anyway. And I think the game right now, look, in all fairness, he's played 7 games. You're not going to ask a guy to give you – or you shouldn't expect a guy to give you the production that, say, maybe a Ryan Fitzpatrick could give you after 20 years playing with a guy who's just stepped in and started 7 games. The game's too fast for him right now. Now, the question is, will they go and get Deshaun Watson and give up a lot of these draft picks that they have to Houston for that exchange? And then do they want to pick up that massive, ridiculous contract that Deshaun Watson has? Because I think Deshaun Watson's pretty good, but is he a $150 million guy? I don't think that. So, I mean, if he was so darn good, then why didn't the Houston Texans win a lot of playoff games? They had a team that could have done it. They had.
Well, they got rid of all their good players around him.
They did. Well, they did. But before they got rid of all those players, you know, they were in the playoffs, got blown out. They got blown out.
Well, the only reason I bring it up is because I think it's odd that Chan Gailey resigned.
Yeah.
Because I thought he did a really good job in only his first year down there. Yeah. And I just think the big picture is the players, him, they wanted – I just don't think Tua is the answer, in my opinion, down there. JC, remember I talked about you need to chomp harder? You remember our chomp harder hats that you need to wear?
Oh, my gosh. Absolutely.
Invest harder? Well, here's one that you need right here. It says run harder, JC. Run. We need you running during COVID.
Hey, if you'd see me play tennis yesterday at the net, you would have been pretty impressed with the run harder, okay? Because at the net, I was impenetrable. I mean, I actually jumped about 6 inches off the ground and got a ball over my head yesterday.
All right.
And the guy I was playing against used to run track at the Naval Academy, and he was impressed. So when I can impress somebody like that, who is an athlete,
you must need a hat that says, well, tennis harder wouldn't make much
volley
sense.
Harder.
Maybe it would.
Volley harder?
Volley harder.
You know.
All right. Well, you can check those hats out at chompharderapparel.com. So, JC, switching gears from the NFL.
Basketball.
Let's talk some college basketball.
Yeah.
Gators lose. They were very undersized against Mississippi State. I didn't think they were going to win this game. I thought it was going to be a blowout because Mississippi State's a physical basketball team.
Yeah,
but the Gators had their chances.
Yeah. Florida did, and you know, the problem, I think, was obviously the last, I don't know, they went 6.5 to 7 minutes without scoring down the stretch in the second half. And, you know, when you're out-rebounded 47-26, when the other team scores 22 more points in the paint than you do, it's obvious why you lost. But Appleby played well. I mean, 20 points for him. You know, made all his free throws. And in fact, I think he made more free throws than maybe Mississippi State as a team made.
But Mississippi State can't shoot free throws.
They're horrible. And I think that let Florida back in the game. But Florida had a nice little flurry there with a couple turnovers that they were able to get to give them a chance at the final possession. I have no idea what the Mississippi State player was thinking when he went up for the basket there with 10, 11 seconds to go. But Florida had a chance. So to put themselves in position to steal that one or force overtime was good to see. But they lost the game by not scoring for 7 minutes, I think, almost 6 minutes to 45 seconds in the second period. And when you go cold, look, they need Scotty Lewis back. I mean, they've got to get Scotty Lewis back. It's bad enough having lost your best player, the preseason SEC player of the year. We know that. We've talked about it. But they got to get Scotty Lewis back on that court. They need somebody who can shoot. And they've got to shoot better. They're
half court sets. When he was playing, he wasn't shooting very well.
No, I know. But, I mean, gee whiz, you hope that he comes out of it at some point. Florida is a team that's going to be a middle-of-the-pack type of SEC team. There's nothing surprising about them right now. And I don't know. You know, right now I think the story is obviously the team in Alabama. The fact that they are blowing people out, 6-0, they're not ranked. They will be a top 20 team when the rankings come out. The fact that they're not ranked shows you that not many folks have yet dialed into Alabama, but it's pretty hard not to with the way they've gone. So they're going to be ranked high, probably in the top 20, not just top 25, but probably in the top 20 this week. And they deserve to be at 6-0 in this league. It's a surprise, I think, most people.
Yeah, you know, I was watching Alabama, their game the other day, and they did a piece on Nate Oates, what he shows recruits. And I don't know if you can find it on YouTube or somewhere. It was really interesting. He had this – he's like a former high school math teacher, JC, so he had like this graph, you know. I can't even explain
he's
it.
Into
but it
had analytics,
all,
yes.
It was all analytical, and it had all the NBA – logos at these different portions of the graph about their pace of play and their three-point shots. And then it had all the logos of all the Power Five schools on the same chart, and then it showed where the Alabama A was, and it was above, and it talked about how the pace of play in the NBA and scoring and three-point percentages have gone up. But in college basketball, it's kind of stayed the same except for his Buffalo team when he coached there in Alabama. So if you can find that piece, it was pretty interesting because I tell you what, I would love to play for him because I was a shooter in high school. And he don't give a damn how many times you jack it up or where you jack it up from.
So, no, it's true. It's
interesting.
But you're right. They have to make their shots be effective. So far they have. I mean, they scored 90 points against Arkansas the other day. So – man, that team is fun to watch. It's a shame that the arenas are basically empty and fans can't get in there to watch it. But when you're watching on TV, you have to be impressed with the way they just look so mature. They look older. They look better. They look, you know, this guy Petty. So I don't know. Florida is a team that's, I think, somewhat going through I don't know if you want to call it a transition or they're just trying to figure it all out right now. But that's a middle of the road team. I mean, we're not going to see anything special. I don't even know if they'll make the tournament. I mean,
going into the game the other day, they were going to be a 10 seed. I see four teams in the SEC getting in right now. It's Alabama, LSU,
Tennessee,
and Missouri.
Missouri.
Those are the four. Those are the four best teams in the conference. Those four definitely will make the tournament if it were to play today. But Kentucky's struggling, Florida's struggling, Auburn's struggling.
Arkansas is
Arkansas, you never know what you're going to get. They play well at home. They have trouble on the road. We play at Tennessee tomorrow night, which
that's
not
good.
Easy to play Thompson Bowling
Arena. This is not a good time to be playing Tennessee right now without a healthy team.
It's a terrible matchup for us, too.
It's terrible. I mean, the size of Tennessee, the athleticism, I don't have very high hopes for this game. So, I mean, we can dig deeper into it, but I think it's going to be a rough night for Florida.
Yes,
and it's just a tough game. I mean, 7 o'clock game on a Tuesday, coming off a Saturday loss.
The timing of the game has nothing to do.
I know a lot of times they play on Wednesdays, but they're traveling to Tennessee, and
they ain't going on a bus; they're going on a plane. They'll be fine. It's just Tennessee's a better basketball team. It's that simple.
I think so. I think Alabama and Alabama LSU will be interesting to watch, and Ole Miss and Mississippi State should be an entertaining game as well. But travel. Look, man, you can either play at home or you can get on a plane and go play somewhere else, QB. I think most guys prefer to play at home. I watched your great Gonzaga team the other night. I mean, okay, so they beat St. Mary's by 11 points. Is this the greatest team of all time? I'm not ready to say that.
Well, I'm not the only person saying that. All these so-called experts, Jimmy Dykes and that crew, have said it's the most talented college basketball team ever assembled. I'm telling you right now.
I know they
will not lose.
Well, they play, right, and I think part of that formula for not losing has a lot to do with with the conference they're playing in.
No.
But
they're out of conference. They played some of the top programs in America and blew them all out.
Okay.
Their board played in their conference. I'm telling you. Never seen a college basketball team like Gonzaga.
We'll see. I mean, you're ready to go ahead and give them the crown. I'm not ready to do that yet.
All right. Before we let you go, JC, there's been some coaching changes again in the SEC. You know, there's still a lot of rumors out there that Jeremy Pruitt will be let go eventually,
I guess,
at Tennessee.
Oh,
he will. I'm telling you, he will.
So they hired Kevin Steele to be the head coach.
Well, probably an interim type, unless they can convince Hugh Freeze or somebody to take
it. It's obvious they hired Kevin Steele to be the head coach then. Because why would Kevin Steele show up only to be let go 6 months later?
Well, No. He's not going to be let go. Kevin Steele played
the new
football.
Coach is going to – if the new coach is not Kevin Steele, the new coach is going to determine who's coaching defense on that team, not Kevin Steele.
No, I'm telling you right now. I'm telling you, Kevin Steele played football at Tennessee. He's at the end of his coaching career. He's going back because he wants to be a part of the program. If they let Jeremy Pruitt go and they can't hire Hugh Freeze, if they hire Hugh Freeze, Kevin Steele will be the defensive coordinator. If none of that works out, Kevin Steele will be the head coach. So
you've already talked to Hugh. You've already talked to Hugh. He told you that.
My sources are telling me that. Larry says here on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mellon Law, the only official law firm partner of the Florida Gators. He says concussion protocol, no time frame, 5 phases, 1 symptom, limited activity, aerobic activity, football specific exercise, club based non-contact training, full football activity. Okay, the NFL obviously concussion protocol is different than college and high school and all that stuff. So
yeah, so you think you'll play?
Patrick Mahomes will be playing. I promise you. Book it. They're not going to go play a damn. They're not going to play an AFC championship game with Chad Henne at quarterback.
I don't see how they would either, unless the guy simply can't count to 10. So I think you're right. He'll be okay. We'll see.
The other reason I was talking about coaches, Saban has lost a bunch of guys off this staff.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it's interesting.
This Huff guy, yeah.
It's interesting to me. And, you know, I was with Saban 1 year, his last year with the Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
And he's really, you know, you've always heard that he's really hard on his assistant coaches, and he is. That's why you see a lot of them leave. Because think about it, Kyle Flood, who's O-line coach, does a tremendous job at Alabama. Why would you not stay at Alabama and coach offensive line? Why would you go with Sarkisian to Texas? That right there shows you that he's hard to work for.
Yeah, but people keep signing up for it, and it is a stepping stone to a potential head job. I mean, this guy Huff, who got the Marshall job, right, was not really talked about that much, but very important member of that coaching staff. Now, there have been some coaches who have stayed a long time. I think Kirby Smart is the one that comes to mind because he was there for over a decade, I want to say. So not everybody just comes and leaves. But when you get these job offers, I mean, that's what all coaches want to do is be the head guy, right? I mean, you've said that before.
Well, he's an offensive line coach, JC.
Well, I know Flood. I'm talking about most of the guys who leave are usually leaving for a head gig, and or they're leaving for a better friend, I guess, in the business, like say Charlie Strong, who's leaving to go coach elsewhere. And I think the success speaks for itself. Now somebody's got to beat Nick Saban, and no assistant has ever done that yet. So it'll be interesting to see who the first coach to do that will be. Although there's no guarantee there will be one. So it's an amazing stat to me is that none of his former coaches have beaten him yet. And we'll see. I know
the only one that has a chance to beat him is Kirby.
Kirby Smart,
because you know Kirby. I saw a couple
or Jimbo. I think Jimbo Fisher could be. I mean,
you've
got to give Texas A&M a chance here because they're getting better. They're on the
upside. A lot of publications in their preseason polls for next year have Georgia as their number one team in America.
Yeah, well, okay. JT Daniels is going to have to play, have a great year for that to happen.
Yeah, they got a lot of guys coming back, though. They do. All their receivers, all their running backs, a couple of linemen. They got a bunch of defensive guys coming back. So they will be a force to be reckoned with.
They will. I mean, they'll be picked to win the East for sure.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. They will, for sure.
Yeah.
There was one last thing before I let you go, JC. I wanted to ask you, and I already forgot it. Concussion protocol right here.
Right there. Well,
I've had a bunch of them.
Dadgummit QB. It's you know, and you're not getting any younger, but you're still in the. I'd say you're in the second quarter of life, QB. How about that?
Yeah.
We're not quite at halftime yet.
We keep forgetting that. Now that football's winding down, we have to do our golf picks. Who won the golf tournament this week? Do we even
know? The Sony Open in Hawaii. That's one of my favorite ones.
Kevin Na won it. He shot 21 under.
Yeah.
I know Billy Horschel came in seventh. He shot 18 under.
Well, let's remember on Friday to get that done, can we? I mean, I know Friday is cut day in all golf tournaments. You have an idea, though, of who's going to be on the weekend threatening to win. So let's try to remember on Friday to pick our golfers. I mean, maybe
We can always pick on Wednesday. They go to PGA West in La Quinta, California for the American Express this week.
Right. It's the California Swing. I get excited when it comes to Florida. I wonder if at some point during the golf year we'll have a gallery. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, that is interesting. It's outside. You can wear a mask.
You know, I think the Masters is in April. I mean, we've already had a Masters. We're about to have another one here in a month and 2 months. 2 months. So, basically. So, I am curious, though. I think at some point – I would be willing to bet you right now that at some point during the summer we will have a gallery somewhere.
JC, what do you got planned for Martin Luther King Day?
Well, today for Martin Luther King Jr. Day, I am going to do a little cleaning, a little household cleaning, and then we have a little foursome planned in the middle of the day. The weather is beautiful. I'm going to do that and just try to rest up for the big week ahead. I love these short weeks, so I got to tell you. And then the next one is, I think the next four-week deal is President's Day in I think, a month. President's Day, sure. So I remember at the beginning of the year, we always had 2 days on Monday that were holidays that I didn't have to work, and that was Martin Luther King. Well, that the markets weren't open, and that's of course today, and I think it's President's Day. I want to say that. So,
all right, JC. Well,
all right, man.
Be safe. Hit them straight.
Okay.
And we'll talk to you soon.
Yeah, you got it, buddy. Thank you.
All right, hey folks. Remember, I told you about G-Tech Clean, one of our new sponsors, new product. You got to check it out.
G-Tech Clean is your complete germ protection. It's EPA approved to kill COVID-19 and kills 99.9% of all germs and viruses, black mold, and also deodorizes. It's the safest, affordable way to clean and sanitize your business, no matter if it's a gym, school, retail store, or office. Use it in your home, anywhere from the bathroom to the kids' room. It's formulated to provide 24/7 protection and is over 30 times more durable than any other cleaners. Try G-Tech at home as well.
I use G-Tech Clean to keep my pot-up studio clean of any germs, viruses, and COVID-19 related, and so should you. Check out G-Tech Clean.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Temp, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise.
G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport.
Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Campus USA Credit Union, Adams Ribs, Doreen Wiebe Realtor, Caldwell Banker, M.M. Parrish, Gator Dominoes, Celebrate Primary Care, Davis Gainesville Chevrolet, Miapa Latin Cafe, Rap Spot, Okito America, Gators Dockside, Style Cuts, Ironwood Golf Course, TB Financial, Meadowbrook Golf Course, Dar Shakow Insurance. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to a Martin Luther King edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning from the Crime Prevention Security System Studios at Celebration Points, where the Gators go to celebrate with premium brands like Bass Pro Shop, Nike, Sensei, Prime and Pearl, and opening soon, Dave and Buster's, and coming spring of 2021, the HBC's new restaurant, Spurrier's Gridiron Grill and Visor's Rooftop Bar. We will see you at Celebration Point, where the Gators go to celebrate. I want to thank JC for joining us. Now we're going to go to the Titan MR hotline, and we're joined by our good friend, Bob Redmond from 24/7 Sports, covering the Florida Gators. Good morning, Bob. How are you?
I'm doing great, Shane. Glad to be here.
Better known as Hollywood Bob. All right, Bob. So, you know, it's transfer portal. Let's we briefly talked about it the last week or so, but not in depth. I haven't had anybody like you that covers recruiting. Gators pick up, I think we have three players, if I'm not mistaken, from the transfer portal, or is it two?
It's three, two defensive tackles and a punter.
That's right. Give us a little quick little breakdown, one from Penn State. You know, I said, and I can't remember if I talked to you about it, Bob, but, you know, I got to witness the two scrimmages that we had in August before the season kicked off. And my concern coming out of those scrimmages, and again, it's scrimmages, was I was like, man, our defensive line ain't very good. Very small, didn't look SEC-like. Well, I feel like my eyes didn't lie to me. I thought we were weak on that at that position, that position group all year long. Will these two guys help us?
Yeah, no doubt. I absolutely think that. And if you take into effect that you lost a couple of guys in Kyrie Campbell and TJ Slayton, they're necessary to get these guys. So they're big. They're both 315 pounds plus. One's 315, one's 327. Space eaters. And the problem is, I think there is talent at the defensive line. They're just young, especially inside. They recruited well last year. But as you were saying, you go into last year, you know, freshmen aren't going to help you a whole lot on the defensive line. And that's the situation they ran into. They have some talented guys. Those guys got to grow up a little bit physically to play in the SEC. And now they've added two guys that have played a lot of college football, or at least been around college football a while. They're older, and they're big guys, and they're ready to step in and play.
We're speaking with Bob Redmond here on the Titan MR Hotline. If you got a question, we can ask Bob here. You can give it to us on Facebook Live. You can follow him on Twitter at Bob Redmond _247. Okay, so we lose Evan McPherson. He decides to go pro. Tell us about this kicker, what you know of him that's coming from Mississippi State. Obviously, Dan probably knows him pretty well.
Yeah, I said punter, and I meant to say kicker. McPherson, I think, was probably a surprise to everybody. I actually thought, since he missed a few this year, that he would come back. You know, his percentages were better. He was actually, coming into the season, the field goal percentage leader in Gator history. And then he missed three, I think, this year, or even more. I'm not sure exactly what his numbers were. But, I think they were just at a spot where they didn't have a guy, and they needed somebody that had been around and kicked well. And this guy was ready to come on board. So, I think that this was a spot that was a little bit of a surprise, and they had an opening to take somebody, and they did so.
We got a text here on the Titan MR hotline, and it comes from Joe. Joe says, speaking of the defensive line, do you guys think Gervon Dexter played up to a 5-star rating last year?
Yeah, I have a different way of looking at 5 stars. A 5-star guy, I think, is a guy that over time in college needs to play a lot of football, needs to live up to a certain level. As a freshman, I don't think it's fair to put a tag on a 5-star and say that they didn't live up to it. He was a necessity to get on the field, as we talked about. I think the numbers were kind of low on the defensive line, like we talked about. So did he live up to it? No, he probably didn't, but I think it's way too early to say that he's not going to live up to it. He's got all the physical tools. He's only played football for, now 3 years. So he only played football for 2 years coming in to this season in high school. He was a basketball player. So I think he's a guy with the physical tools, and through coaching over the years, is going to be big time. And I think, he was forced into a situation probably where he should have played even less than he did. But I think it's too early to judge. And I actually think he's going to be really good before it's all over with.
Yeah, let me ask you that about the 5-star, because, nothing against that kid at all. Let's just use him as an example. You made a great point. He hasn't played a lot of football. I actually coached against him in a playoff game a couple of years ago. And he was a beast because he's just bigger than everybody else. But I'm not a guy that does ratings or anything, but I didn't see a 5-star player because of the things you just mentioned. Not much experience. Did he get that 5-star rating due to his body size, what he looks like, how he moves at combines, not what he did on the field, but what he looks like in shorts?
Well, he was very productive in high school. I mean, he had – from an interior D-line position, he had a lot of sacks and that kind of thing. You add on the athleticism and stuff, I think that's why it turned into that. He was very productive. The combines, remember, they didn't have any of that stuff last year because of the COVID stuff. So he didn't even get to go do that stuff in the off season. So that was while he was here. My bad. I'm getting mixed up here. But anyway, I just think his physical ability allowed him to be super productive on the football field. And that's what won over scouts that rated him a 5-star. In the end, I think it goes back to what I said. I don't think that people, when they predict a 5-star, at least in my opinion and the way I look at it, I don't think you can look at a freshman year and say, this is what this kid's going to be over time. The other thing, and I think the first one that introduced this to me was actually maybe Ron Zook, is that, coaches say that the closer you are to the football, the harder it is to get on the field. And that goes on offense or defense. So basically, it's easier for a defensive back to play than a defensive tackle. Because they're one-on-one, they don't have to deal with playing in traffic and all that other kind of thing, and the physicality that goes inside, it's just easier to play outside than it is inside. So I think you add all those things up, you know, he's going to have to improve. He's technique wise and stuff like that, but he's got the ability to be a really good player over time.
Yeah. And Kyle says on Facebook Live, brought to you by Mental Law, Gervon went through a lot personally this year. I'm not picking on him. I'm just saying sometimes it may not be fair to that kid to be a five-star, you know, because people are expecting so much from him. Mm-hmm. Since he was our only five-star in that class, I believe. Whereas mm-hmm. if he was a three- or four-star, maybe people wouldn't be have so much focus on him, is my point. And like you said, he hasn't played much football, and it's weird that if you haven't played much football, how do you become a five-star? David says on Facebook Live, in high school, sheer athleticism can make you top-tier, desire and technique and continued growth. We also had a question on here. From David, wants to know, do you know what Todd Grantham looks for when he recruits defensive linemen?
I think they like size. I never understood why you would want a big 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", defensive tackle, simply because you want those guys to be able to get lower than the offensive linemen, and it's just harder for those big guys inside. But you know, when they're rushing the passer – they can get up high and hands high and stuff like that. They have longer reach and stuff like that. So I do get all that. But they look for – it's really size. It's speed. It's, number one is speed for the defense for Ty Grantham. They love to fly around. His guys tend to be a little bit lighter. But if you can get a bigger, heavier guy that can really move – they're going to go that direction, especially on the defensive line up for in the middle.
I got a text here on the Titan MR text line. It comes from Joseph. Joseph wants to know, Bob, were you surprised that James Houston went into the transfer portal?
Yeah, I was a little surprised. I do think there's some young talent coming behind James, and I think that maybe, you know, he wants to play a lot, and I think he'll probably end up going to a program that he knows he's going to get on the field a lot and be able to shine. But there's some young guys at linebacker that I think would have taken some playing time away from him. I do believe he would start next to Ventrell Miller, but I do think, you know, that playing time is going to start really growing for some young guys, and maybe even a new guy or two like Mr. Black that's coming in. You know, he's a superstar from the junior college ranks. So I think that, you know, I think overall he's looking to make sure that he gets lots of time and lots of film to show for the next level.
At Chris Dorey Mortgage, they do mortgage lending right, helping home buyers throughout Gainesville and North Central Florida. Call Chris Dorey Mortgage today, 352-244-0840. We're speaking with Hollywood Bob Redman here on the Titan MR Hotline. You can check him out on Twitter at BobRedman_247. He covers the Gators for Swamp 24/7 Sports. Coaches, we lost a couple of coaches earlier, fired, whatever you want to say. I believe we still have one opening available on staff. Let us know what you're hearing there. And also, Christian Robinson, the linebacker coach, has left the program, come back, left again, come back. What's his status? Is he going to Michigan or is he staying?
Yeah, that, you know, I think that's just going to be up to him. That one surprised me a bit, too. You know, he got his try through Todd Grantham, his first shot at being a GA and now an assistant coach. This is his first job, really, where he's a full-time assistant. And I didn't think he would leave Todd Grantham, but then Michigan hired the linebacker coach that coached him at Georgia, and so he kind of has that, you know, being comfortable with that coach, and they made a play for him. You know, I think Robinson's probably growing as a coach and learning the ropes still a little bit because he's really young and whatever, but he's one of the better recruiters on the staff, and I just talked about the linebacker position where it's getting better and there's some young guys coming up. Well, that's really a lot has to do with him because he is a good recruiter. So I think that, you know, they want to keep him and they're working that way. I don't know in the end. I think he's the only one that he really knows what he's going to do. And I don't know, honestly, other than seeing Michigan go and get somebody else if we're going to actually find out whether or not he's going to stay here or not. As far as the other position coach, you know, originally I thought they were going to go with we originally heard it was going to be T-Rob, Travaris Robinson, that was here before, coming back and being the full, just the only secondary coach, and that they were going to find another coach up front. But now it looks like they're going to go another secondary coach with McGriff that they just hired. And, you know, we first were hearing Chris Ash from Texas. Of course, Texas has a new staff now. But the latest word was that Ash might be going with Urban to the Jaguars. And so now we're, you know, we're looking around and seeing what else is available, or, you know, what else is out there and who might come. There's been talk of a former NFL guy, and I can't remember his first name right now, but Linguist is his last name, with the Dallas Cowboys. He actually coached a year with Dan Mullen at Mississippi State, and so that's a connection there, and that's a name we've heard. Other than that, you know, the Chris Ash and Mr. Linguist, I'm not exactly sure, you know, who they're going to go, and it should be another secondary coach.
We got a text here on the Titan MR text line. Says, doesn't tell us who it is, but he wants to know, any projections on any more portal signees in the near future and other high school signees? How many do we have available to sign, or how many high school kids do we have that are going to be signing in February?
It's only like two or three, and honestly, they're at a point now where I'm not sure they're going to add another one. If there is a big player that comes through on the portal, I think they would do that instead at this point. So, you know, they have some guys that are technically still committed. I think most of those players will end up at other schools before it's done, and I think you know, maybe they take one of them or two, but in the end, I think they're going to try. You know, they're not going to try. If a really talented player comes along in the portal and they have a shot at it, they'll take them. I think if they could add a really big offensive tackle through the portal, they'd do that. I think it's getting a little too late for that, unless something happens at the end of the semester and they would just bring them in for the fall. That's a possibility, I guess, but I think right now there's a possibility that they don't add anybody else to the roster.
I saw where one of the, I think it was a four-star quarterback out west, I believe, Nico Marshall, I think his name is, has the Gators as one of his top four choices. What do you know about him? Do you know anything about him, Bob?
I personally do not right now, no. I think they're going to sign a quarterback in the 22 class. You know, they signed two in the 21 class. They're going to try to get back to that one per year. Right now I don't really know anything about that particular prospect.
And we got a text here from Jim. Jim wants to know, is Eric Gilbert, the tight end from LSU, going to be a Gator?
I'm lost for the name again. You know, the Gators are making a big play, that's for sure. I think the real talk when he was going into the portal was to get closer to home, and that would be Georgia. You know, Georgia has been a recruiting machine for a while, and Tim Brewster, the Florida tight end coach, the other day had a big tease. I think it was 2 days ago, where, you know, Gators producing the number one tight end, look for something to the effect of Gators producing the number one tight end, look for it to happen again. I don't have the exact quote in my head, but it was a real tease. And I'm sure that's what most people in their minds went to. But I think it would be a pleasant surprise if Eric Gilbert did show up, but I wouldn't count those eggs right now. I think Georgia is still the team to beat.
This is the million-dollar question here. I got a text from Steven. Steven says, Bob, what can we do to get more Bama-type players? That's the million-dollar question, right?
Yeah, I mean, I think it goes back to what you said, 10 minutes ago or so about showing up at practice and looking at the defensive line and knowing that they that wasn't going to be good enough for 2020. And I think it kind of starts there. That I think they did a good job last year of recruiting the defensive line. My issue with their recruiting right now is they're just piecing things together, it seems like, left and right. I mean, when you have to go to the portal, which they have been the kings of, I'll give them that much credit. When it comes to the portal, they have done better probably than anybody else in America. But in the end, you want to be relying on people that have been in your program 2, 3, 4 years and not a senior to plug and place. And I think they've been doing too much of that piecing together going along. I think it's great when you have a spot where you know you need somebody that can come in, but when you need 2 or 3 or 5 or whatever it's been over the years, and those people are having a key, I think that's an issue. So getting to a Bama level, there's only one or two that can say they're doing that right now, and this program right now is not. They've got a long ways to go. They're going to have to add they're going to have better recruiters. Hopefully the guys coming in that are replacing the guys leaving are better recruiters. But then again, the highest rated player in the recruiting class this year is a 5-star cornerback in Jason Marshall. And you just got rid of the cornerback coach. So, they're going to have to, it's going to take a lot of recruiting to get to that point with Alabama.
No doubt about it. And Dan, a good friend, Dan from Texas here on Facebook Live, when I asked that question, he just put up money bags across the Facebook Live. So, hey, Bob, let everybody know how they can check out all your work on 24/7.
Yes, it's swamp247.com. And you come give us a try. You can try it out for a free week and see what you like. We have 3 full-time employees working all the time covering football, baseball, basketball, and the recruiting for each sport. And we all enjoyed it. It was a rough year this past year simply because we really didn't even go anywhere. We did all of our job from our desk outside of Blake Alderman covering recruiting and going to some or places doing that. But we still, we still had coverage of everything this past year, and we'll continue to do that. It's swamp247.com.
Appreciate it, Bob. Take care, my man.
Thanks, Shane.
Yep. At Center State Bank, we put business first. We are the largest community bank in the state of Florida and understand that small businesses need a community business partner that they can rely on. Center State has 4 convenient Alachua County locations to serve you better. Center State Bank, member FDIC. We're going to take our final time out. We'll come back and wrap up this Martin Luther King edition. You're watching and listening to Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning.
We want to take this moment to thank all our sponsors who keep the show going and pay the bills. Our Gridiron sponsors are Crime Prevention Security Systems, large enough to serve you, small enough to care. Titan MRI, Gainesville's only locally owned and operated MRI facility. Meldon Law, where you matter most. Peachland Dental, Gator Nation's first choice for dentistry in Port Charlotte. Comfort Tim, comfort is our business, peace of mind is our promise.
G-Tech Sport, keep your athletes in the game with G-Tech Sport.
Celebration Point Town Center, Center State Bank, Chris Doring Mortgage. Some of our touchdown sponsors are Big Mills Cheesesteaks, MB Listing, Cornerstone Financial, McDonald's Gainesville, My IT Masters, Gainesville Neon and Signs, 84 Lumber, Tropical Smoothie, Chick-fil-A on Archer Road, Aver and Smith Personal Injury Attorneys, Orange Theory Fitness, and Dowling Signs. If you are interested in promoting your business on the show, you can visit our website, potupwithshane.com, and click the advertise button or call Freddie at 352-284-3733. Again, thank you for all the great businesses that support the show. Please remember, if you like what we are doing here, thank our sponsors and support the businesses that support us.
Welcome back to this Martin Luther King edition of Pot Up with Matthews in the Morning. Hey, Comfort Temp. Comfort is our business. Peace of mind is our promise. This month, get a free maintenance plan with every residential duct cleaning purchase, $199 value. Service department's open 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. This day in sports, in 1951, the NFL rules that tackles, guards, and centers are ineligible for a forward pass. Can you imagine playing defense before 1951 when everybody was eligible to go out? That would have been difficult. I want to thank JC for joining us today, and also Hollywood Bob Redmond talking recruiting and Gator football from Swamp 24/7 Sports. Make sure you tell your friends to follow us and like us on Facebook Live, YouTube, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, all the different platforms. Have a great Martin Luther King Day, folks. We'll see you tomorrow. Got a good show lined up for you, so stay tuned. Today's show is a wrap, brought to you by WrapSpot. Take care.